Well, good afternoon. Let's pray. Let's pray, pray, pray. You know, Our Lady in 1917, when she appeared to the Fatima seers, urged them to pray the rosary, you know, for peace. She warned about the rise of atheistic communism. And we see it continuing to spread its ugliness throughout the world. Evil sometimes looks bigger and more powerful than it really is, and prayer is an incredible way of disengaging it. I remember reading accounts of how rosary crusades were formed, and countries that had Soviet presence, communist militaries, they defeated them in miraculous ways, where in some cases those forces just got up and left to the bafflement of a lot of military experts. But prayer is a way, has a way of doing that. And I have great confidence in prayer, and I have great confidence in the Chapel of Divine Mercy. You know, the Lord says that the world will have no peace until it turns with trust to His mercy. The world will have no peace until it turns with trust to His mercy. So let's, you and I, do our part. Let's trust in the mercy of God. Let's trust that He'll provide and He'll continue to protect, especially our country, from war, from degeneration, from disaster, from disease. And let's pray. Let's pray for the conversion of those who have evil intentions. All right, and I want to pray for you. I did want to pray for Dakota and all those who've asked me to pray for them, and I'll lift up whatever intention you may have. You can always join me here anytime at 888-914-9149. It's 888-914-9149. And, of course, I am joined by my colleague here, Celine. Celine, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. I'm happy to be here.
I'm delighted to have you. Anything you would like to offer up before we begin praying?
Yes, I would like to pray for a personal intention that I have for a friend, and also for our colleague, Jim Shaper, and his wife. They're going through a difficult time with her illness, so we pray for healing and peace in their family.
Well, thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, Jim is one of the great producers here at the network, and his wife has battled cancer. We've prayed for her on the air before, but they're going through a really tough time right now. So I'd ask you to remember them and all those who are going through these difficult medical and financial times. We'll lift them up. Received an email from Susan in Tampa, Florida. She listens to us on 104.3 FM there. Thank you for writing, Susan. She says, praise God. Just want to thank everyone for these answered prayers. My daughter and family have started to come back to the church after having been away for over a year. This mother had been praying for the conversion and the return so all the kids could come back. And she says she's going to sign her children up for CCD, including Holy Communion and baptism. I just want to thank you. I want to praise Jesus. I want to thank the Divine Mercy, Relevant Radio Prayer Warriors. Blessings and thank you to all, Sue. And Sue, I just love that, because that's one of those prayers that we know is always heard and answered, that prayer of conversion. You're seeing it happen in a very rapid fashion. Sometimes it takes a lot longer. Another person wrote to me, says, I just found out about a half an hour ago, after having put this before prayers, that my nephew had a very successful surgery. They removed all the cancer, and just want to let you know that this is a miracle. I'm not quite sure why it is, but in addition, Louis went to confession and has been going to Mass now for 3 weeks and is talking to his sister about coming back to the church. So I want to thank God and Relevant Radio for the prayers. Well, April, thank you for those prayers. Again, whether it's physical, I love those miracles of conversion, how one person goes back to the sacrament of mercy, now receives the Lord, now is talking his sister into coming back. Let's pray for our loved ones that aren't where they should be with the Lord today, too. And we'll bring them before him as we begin. Today's a special day, too. And when I'm done praying the chaplet today, I'll fill you in on an aspect of the Divine Mercy devotion other than the chaplet. It deals with another great treasure that Jesus gave to the world. It's something that I strongly embrace, have around me all the time, but I want to fill you in on it, okay? We'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call today from Mary Ann, praying with us in Mesa, Arizona. Good afternoon, Mary Ann.
Hi, Drew. My 16-year-old granddaughter, Ashley, never came back after school from lunch after school. She's 16. She's pregnant. The boyfriend was just here looking for her best friend, so nobody knows where she is. Somebody witnessed her smashing her phone, and we're just really scared. So we're just begging our Lord to find her and bring her home.
So do you think Mary Ann, do you think she left on her own accord or something nefarious happened?
No, I think she left on her own accord. She had a friend from school drive her to the park, which is like 3 blocks away. And she is pregnant. She's due in October, and we're all loving, non-judgmental. Mm-hmm. You know, it shouldn't be,
sure.
But it is. So you make the best
right.
of it.
Amen.
And that's where we're at. So practicing Catholic family, thanks be to God. So
I'd be the same way, Mary. Yeah. Let's pray for her now, okay? St. Faustina often suffered a lot for pregnant mothers. So I'm going to ask her intercession
right.
now, and we're going to ask for a return to the family. This is one of those prayers that this particular chaplet seems to have a charism with. We prayed for the elderly who've gone missing, the kidnapped, you know, those who wandered off for one reason or another. And God seems to really hear this. So Heavenly Father, I come before you now, and I give you Mary Ann. I pray for this beautiful 16-year-old granddaughter of hers, Ashley, who's pregnant. We thank you for the gift of life, and I just entrust these children into your merciful heart. Protect them with your rays of mercy. And I ask by virtue of this prayer, by united with so many believers, so many people trusting in you, that you hear these prayers and that we hear good news, and that we get another answer to prayer, and that Ashley is returned home. And we pray for a successful pregnancy. We dedicate this child in her womb to your mercy. And we come together. We pray for all those who have lost, all those who have been taken, all those who are facing crisis pregnancies, and all those mothers who want to abort their children. I bring all these souls to you, and we entrust them to your mercy as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, let's go to Ken, praying in Portland. Ken, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to reach out to the radio here and have a prayer intention for someone I was seeing and dating a couple of years ago. And I ended things very abruptly, and I know I hurt her. And, you know, I want to also pray for any women out there who find themselves in an abusive situation or, you know, whether it's mental, physical, emotional, spiritually. I pray for them, but also for the men out there who, you know, essentially need to, or at least in my position, you know, wake up and smell the coffee. Like, these are daughters of God, daughters of Christ. They weren't put here for our amusement. We're to protect them, and I really believe if we as men took the high road, like sexual trafficking, sexual abuse of all kind would just end overnight. So I pray that for all of those people out there.
You sound like a good man, and I think you're right. It's a beautiful prayer. It's one that we don't always hear here on this program, but it's so true. And I just want to pray for proper respect for the dignity of our fellow man, for our human sexuality. I want to pray for anyone who's objectifying another. I want to pray for those in abusive relationships. And I want to pray for continued conversion, Ken, for you and you know, for anyone who finds themselves struggling in this particular way. But I do want to pray for those who've been deeply wounded in a relationship by infidelity, by abuse. Lord, I just ask that you heal today. And I bring forward this intention. I think it's such an important one. Lord, I give you Ken and all of his intentions as well. Unite them to all those now praying with me. And we turn to your great mercy as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to our Twitter account next, and you can always leave your petitions there or correspond with us. We'd love to talk with you in cyberspace at Drew Mariani. You can reach me there, or our show is at Drew Mariani Show, and Maggie's always monitoring and handling a lot of our communication there, and a lot of intentions are coming in. Maggie, what are we called to pray for today?
Well, first, I just want to lift up the same intention that Celine had earlier for our friends Aaron and Jim Shaper. She's really been going through a tough time right now, and I know the whole family is, so I want to hold up the big cup for the Shapers. Maggie from Cherry Hill, New Jersey, wrote to us. She said, "Drew, I've emailed before asking prayers for my brother Michael. He had routine surgery to have cataracts removed around Thanksgiving, but has had horrible results, infections and horrible pain. He lost his sight and is now facing possibly losing his eye. His pain is constant. The doctors don't seem to be able to treat it. Please pray for healing. He has great faith, but doesn't understand why God has allowed this to happen." That just broke my heart. Marilyn from Brooklawn, New Jersey, wrote, Dear Drew, I am in immunotherapy for acute leukemia. I start my last sequence of treatments next week, and the next step would be a bone marrow transplant. I have been in remission since my first treatment, and we've also been praying to Servant of God Maria Esperanza her intercession in obtaining a miracle cure since we first received this diagnosis. She said, "I was visited by a local priest who was involved in her cause for sainthood and was able to be blessed by her first-class relic." Oh, she said, "I have 4 matches to date that have been found for the donor registry." So she's very grateful. She says, "All praise, glory, and honor to and thanksgiving to our God." So let's pray for Marilyn. And lastly, Elizabeth wrote to us earlier on Twitter. She said, "I have a prayer request. I'm 12 weeks pregnant, and I had some spotting. Prayers that the baby is okay, and I can carry to term."
Mm. Wow. Well, Maggie, thank you. Mm-hmm. Such heavy intentions, so many of those. You know, Maria Esperanza, you hear that name. She's She's a servant of God. Her cause is open. I spoke to her vice postulator. He's told me there are a lot of miracles that have taken place through her intercession. And the church needs, you know, miracles that will ultimately elevate her to sainthood. To the, you know, you need one for beatification, one for canonization as well. So let's call upon Maria Esperanza. We'll call upon all the communion of saints for all of these intentions that we've just heard here. And let me bring Karen in as well. She's praying in St. Paul, Minnesota. Bring her into this third decade. Hi, Karen.
I'm just calling. I'd like prayers for my daughter, who's 18. She's suffering from a mental illness. Just praying for healing, for restoration for her, and just for any other youth who suffer in the same way. I know the Lord can heal however he chooses.
I'm sorry, it's hard as a mother, you know, to see your daughter like that. I my heart goes out to you, but I'll tell you, we're going to pray for you right now, Karen. And I want to pray for anyone who's struggling with mental health. Believe it or not, I'm glad you called, because somebody texted me earlier today that I know, and they've got a friend who is on the street. She suffers from mental illness. And, you know, we see those who are on the streets struggling from addiction, mental illness, you know, financial problems. I want to pray for those who have nowhere to stay, those who are homeless. But I do ask you, Father, right now to intercede for Karen. Give her strength. Give her peace. We pray for her daughter who is in the hospital for mental health, and for all young people who are struggling with these mental health issues. And, you know, to any parent who is going through this right now, I just want to say to you, you pray, you hope, you don't worry. That's what Padre Pio said, right? He said that worry is useless. That God's merciful, that he does hear your prayers, and he will hear your prayers. He will answer your prayers. That prayer is the best weapon he has. It's the key to God's heart. That comes from the great Padre Pio. So let's do that now. Lord, we put our trust in you. We give you these impossible situations. We pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call comes from Beth, praying in Wheaton, Illinois. Beth, good afternoon. Thanks for dialing in.
Hi, Drew. I am calling with an urgent matter. A dear friend of mine is struggling with, it appears, alcoholism, and we were just informed that she's trying to leave the hospital. And recently, the friends were told that if she doesn't quit drinking within the next month or so, she might die. So her alcoholism obviously runs in her family, and all of the friends have been pushed away, and we're just, you know, absolute wrecks. One of her brothers died a year ago next month, and he was a dear friend of ours as well. And I don't know what else to do, and I just texted the friend group, and I said, if you're a Catholic, look up the Divine Mercy Prayer. I'm going to try and call into the show and get more prayers said for her. She's not Catholic, but she's Christian, and she needs so many prayers. It's just been it's been a really rough road for that family. There's so much more that I could go into, but I won't right now.
Well, I'm glad you got through, Beth, and you've got the right approach and the right attitude. I'm so glad that you've brought this before us. Addiction is so destructive, and it leads either to the grave or to prison. It destroys or robs people of their future. And Lord, I just pray right now for those who are in the grip of it. If there's any demonic element, I ask that you break that, and you vanquish that, and you cast those demonic spirits to the recesses of hell. If it is a psychological, emotional wound, if there's some sort of soul wound that needs healing, I ask for your divine touch. And I do believe in the power of the prayer that we're about to invoke. The Lord said this is a tool for conversion. He says the chaplet is an instrument for grace. And the Lord told St. Faustina, he says, pray unceasingly. Pray it unceasingly. So, Lord, I pray for those bound in addiction to be freed. And I stand on your promise that it pleases you to grant souls everything they ask of you by saying this prayer. So these situations that seem impossible, addiction, cancer, finances, whatever they may be, Lord, I come to you now. I give to you everyone who's on hold, everyone united to me in prayer now, and in particular, Beth, and this intention as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call comes from Riverside, California. Marie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for receiving my call. It's the first time I called because one of my friends, she's a very religious lady, and she has two sons. One of them is out of state trying to have his own business. So it's only this morning she called me to ask me to pray for him. And only thing I could think of, if you, with the Divine Mercy chaplet, that would be the help for him. He has been, that's not the first time he has attempted to commit suicide. So I'm glad I was able to get to you.
Yeah, it must have been God's will that it happened, Yolanda. I'm glad you got through. I really am glad that, I'm sorry, Maria, that you got through here. So his name is Spencer, is that what you said?
Dyrus Spencer.
Okay, well, let's pray for him right now. Let's bring him before the Lord. I'm glad you got through it. Look, here's the thing. And I'm absolutely convinced. I pray with total confidence, total hope, total trust in God's mercy. And we have big intentions today. The missing, we have people with cancer. We have people losing their vision. We have people who are contemplating suicide. Lord, I just give you these intentions. I believe so strongly that you hear our prayers. I know that you hear these prayers. And I'm so grateful for this gift. And I'm so grateful that Marie was able to get through. And I just pray that from this moment forward, whatever suicidal ideation this man has, it begins to diminish. And we pray for his complete and total healing. And I pray for that right now for anyone who is struggling with the thought of taking their own life. And for any mother right now who is on her way or is considering taking the life of her child. Lord, I just ask for mercy that you hold back their hands. I ask for healing emotionally and psychologically and emotionally for all those who so deeply need it. And I give you this intention as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
Maria Esperanza,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
I think St. Lucy's the patron saint of eyes. St. Lucy, pray for us. And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for praying. Hey, look, send me your answered prayers, please. I know God is working. I can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in such a powerful way. I know that God has got good things in store for you. Things are going to change. And stay with me when we come back. You know, we pray the chaplet. You know how much I love it, how much I have confidence in it. I want to share with you something that I also arm myself with. It's in my home, in my office, in my radio studio, and actually on my person. And this is a gift from Jesus to Faustina, and it's also a gift to you. I'll fill you in when I return.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
In 1931, a Polish nun, Sister Faustina Kowalska, received an apparition from Jesus. He requested her to paint an image according to the pattern you see with the words, "Jesus, I trust in you." Faustina obediently carried out this request, and the result was this image of Divine Mercy. It's one of the most venerated images in the world. However, it was not easy to keep the image in a safe place. In the past, it had been stolen, bought, and even buried. The image has been in Poland, Lithuania, and Belarus. It has survived both the Nazi and Soviet invasions. If it had not been for the nuns and people who hid and found it, few people would know of its existence today.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, today is a great day. It is the anniversary of the day that the Lord gave the image of Divine Mercy to St. Faustina. And this is an image, just like the chaplet, that I think is a great channel of grace. The Lord has given many, many promises to it. He promised great protection. He promised that souls that would venerate this image would not perish. I have this image in my home. I have it in my car. I have it on my phone. I have it just about everywhere. I wear a small image of Divine Mercy when I you know, on the inside of my suit. You know, it's just, I believe in the promise of it. I just love Divine Mercy. I think it's such a devotion for our time. You may not be familiar with this, so let me tell you a story. I'll give you a little background on how this was given. And I was always struck. This was told to me by Father Serafin Mikulenko. He's the vice postulator for the cause of St. Faustina's cause for her canonization. He recently died this past year, just about a year ago. And he was the foremost expert on Divine Mercy, kind of my mentor. And he was sharing with me that one day St. Faustina was in her room. They called it her cell. She was there in prayer. And it was in the middle of the winter. It was February in Poland. So you know how cold and dark, gray everything can be. And because of that, there was this strange brightness that was all the more noticeable. It was a light that stopped children in their tracks. Excuse me. What was the light? Where was it coming from? You know, these kids didn't know. They could it be an airplane? Could it be, you know, a planet? It was too bright to be any sort of ordinary lamp. So as they started walking towards it, the children could see the source more clearly. It seemed to be coming from the top of the convent. And the children were curious, so they knocked on the door, and they asked the nuns there what was going on. Meanwhile, Sister Faustina was up in her cell. She was on top of the convent, and Jesus Christ visited her. And it wasn't the first time the Lord had come to her, but this time, the appearance, she said, was absolutely amazing. She recorded in her diary this. She says, when I was in the evening, when I was in my cell, she said, I saw the Lord Jesus clothed in a white garment. One hand was raised in the gesture of blessing. The other was touching the garment at the breast. From beneath the garment, slightly drawn aside at the breast, there were emanating two large rays, one red, the other pale. She says, in silence, I kept my gaze fixed on the Lord, and my soul was struck with awe. And after a while, the Lord said to me, paint an image according to the pattern you see, and sign it with these words, Jesus, I trust in you. He says, I desire this image to be venerated first in your chapel, then throughout the world, and I promise that the soul who will venerate this image will not perish. I promise, I love this, victory over its enemies already here on earth, but especially at the hour of death, for I myself will defend it as my own glory. I mean, that's an incredible promise. I promise you, the Lord's saying, victory over your enemies here on earth, but especially at that final hour when you need it the most, when your eternity hangs in the balance. The Lord says, if you venerate this image, I will defend you as my own glory. So Faustina saw this beautiful, beautiful image of our resurrected Lord, these rays pouring forth from his heart. And of course, she later would explain, you know, the pale ray represented the water and the red represented the blood. These are the vehicles of his mercy poured out on the world through the Eucharist. There's a lot of Eucharistic theology in this. And I don't have time to go into it all with you right now, but I want to share with you some of the promises that came from this particular experience. Like Catholics, and I also want to point this out, we as Catholics, we don't worship the Divine Mercy image. Worship is reserved to God alone, right? But the image deserves, I think, a lot of respect. And the Lord promised that the soul that will venerate this will not perish, that he promised, you know, victory. By means of the image, he says, I'll grant grace to souls, so let every soul have access to it. And there were a couple promises, and I'm going to share with you in a moment here a conversation I had with a priest about how the image itself protected somebody from a concentration camp. But I had another conversation with a priest not too long ago who revealed to me something very striking. I wrote about it in my book. There were some promises that didn't get recorded in the diary of St. Faustina. So you have her book, you probably won't read these there. Some of them were written in the very first version. St. Faustina wrote a diary, and then an angel of light appeared. It was actually a fallen angel. It appeared like a normal angel and convinced her to burn her first diary. Her spiritual director, of course, when he heard about this, told her, hey, you shouldn't do that, so I want you to rewrite it. And she did. And she had scraps of paper in which she had these different promises on it. This is what she told Father Sapochko. She said, when chastisement for sin come upon the world, no, this is what the Lord told her, and your own country will experience utter degradation, the only refuge will be trust in my mercy. I will protect cities and homes in which the Divine Mercy image is found. I will protect cities and homes in which the Divine Mercy image is found. I will protect the person who will venerate this image. The only refuge will be trust in my mercy. So let everyone procure for their homes this image, because there will yet come trials. And those homes and entire families and everyone individually who will hold this image of mercy in deep reverence, I will preserve from every sort of misfortune. I know that sounds fantastical, right? I believe it. I believe it's true. And we've seen it. I'll share a couple stories of how this image has survived and has saved people. I'll finish with one final thought here, what the Lord said to Faustina. He says, the time will come when all those who do so will give witness to the miraculous efficacy of the special protection of mercy flowing from this image. So let me just say to you, if you can, get a copy of this image. Get a copy of it for your home or your car or for your house. This is a beautiful, beautiful image. St. Faustina taking the Lord's command, said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and paint an image. But she was no artist, so she couldn't do it. So she went to an artist, and I've got to give you the thumbnail because we don't have a whole lot of time to talk here today. She went to this artist, and she was, I felt bad for the guy. His name was Eugene Kazimierowski, and he was a good artist, but who's going to capture Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord, right, with paint and with brush? You can't do it. I often think of the modern-day seers that I've spoken to, from Sister Agnes Sasagawa to the seers in Africa to others who've had visions of the Mother of God. And they say there's a radiance that comes from these visions, the other world. There's a beauty that's indescribable, that the love of God actually radiates from them. I mean, it's impossible to capture that, right? So how do you do this on a canvas with paint and brush? And Faustina was so frustrated, you know, that this artist just could not capture it. And time and time again, she had the artist repaint the face of Jesus because it didn't look right to her. Then she made him repaint it again, and then she made him do it again, and he did it 10 times, right? And she got so upset, and she said, Lord, who's going to be able to paint you as beautiful as you are? You know, how who's going to do that for you? And the Lord said to Faustina, he says, hey, Faustina, you know, it's not in the beauty of the paint or the brush. It lies the power of this image, but in my grace. That's what he said. It's in my grace. So eventually, you know, she accepted the image as it was. And what was really striking about this, it wasn't until years later that they discovered a parallel between the image of St. Faustina and another, I think, miraculous image given to us by heaven, the Shroud of Turin, which has survived thousands of years and is believed by competent experts to be the burial cloth of Jesus Christ, right? 1996, there was an event that took place, and Father Seraphim Mikalenko, again, was sharing this to me. It happened by chance that there was they happened to take the image of St. Faustina's Divine Mercy image, right? And they laid the image printed from the 1931 photographic plates of the Shroud of Turin. And when they superimposed these two images on top of one another, they found something off the charts. They found that these two images, both, I believe, divinely given, by chance, you know, after it was backlit, revealed a just startling coincidence. They found that the eyes, the distance between the eyes on the image of Divine Mercy and the image of the Shroud were identical, the center of the pupils, that the nose is practically the same length, that the lips, the way they form, are identical, that the mustache and the beard are the same cut, that the hair falls at the sides in the same way. In fact, the outer outline of the hair on the head is identical. The correspondence, almost perfect, right? Almost perfect. And the thing about Kazimierowski, the artist, he never saw those photographs of the Shroud of Turin. So he kept correcting the face until it came close to match what Sister Faustina has seen. So I really believe that this is the image. There's so much to talk about. I'll tell you what, let me take a short break. When we come back, I'll share with you why you need to have this in your home. There were many accounts of miraculous protection and even miraculous healing that has taken place as a result of the image. I'll share some of those with you when I return.
The Drew Mariani Show. Connected. Connected. Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio runs on horsepower. Your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep your station running. Join in with thousands of other listeners who have given their unused vehicles at relevantradio.com/car.
Drew Mariani is here for you on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, it is such a delight to be able to share with you. You know, I was saying to Maggie during the break, I really should have set aside an hour to talk to you about the image of Divine Mercy. Today's the anniversary of the day that our Lord appeared to St. Faustina and asked her to have this image that she saw painted, and he attached to it unbelievable promises of protection. And as a result of it, we have seen not just divine protection, but miraculous healing. And if I have time, I can share a little bit of that with you as well. But I had the opportunity to speak to Father Kazimierz Jawalik, He was a Marian of the Immaculate Conception and a good friend of Father Seraphim Michalenko, and just a great proponent of divine mercy. And when I was writing my book on divine mercy, I was sharing with him a little bit what I was going to keep in there. And he says, well, are you familiar with what happened in Pavlovsk prison during the Nazi concentration camps, the time of Nazi occupation, and what happened in those camps? I said, no. And he shared this story with me. Let me now let him share it with you. I happened to have my phone with me, and I recorded part of what he shared with me. So I want to pass that along. Here's Father Cass. Listen.
I know that this gift that God gave us was received on 22nd of February, 1931. But the significance of this 22nd of February is not because it's 22nd of February, but because it was first Sunday of Lent. And according to Father Seraphim, who was an Eastern Rite priest, immediately when he checked the calendar and he saw that it was February 22nd, he said, okay, in 1931, February 22nd occurred on the first Sunday of Lent. And for him, it was very clear because the first Sunday of Lent in Eastern tradition is called also the Feast of Holy Icons. So here it is. Jesus appears to Faustina. She's painting an image. And what do we have? We have it done on the first Sunday of Lent, on the Feast of the Sacred Images. The number two, the significance of this feast is that, you know, as you know, icons are a witness to Christ's incarnation. That's why even those who were iconoclasts, as we're known, they were trying to remove images because they said, you can't paint God. Well, the problem is that, no, we have God who became incarnate. And so therefore, to prevent people from honoring images would be to say that the reality of incarnation never took place, which means the reality of Jesus, both human and divine. And this is why we have the access to the Father through him, but through his humanity, which we see, even though human and divine, and yet in his humanity, we hear his words, we see his face. But the second aspect of this image is important, is the word, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. I put my confidence in you. I know that you're real and you can take care of me. Because, you know, one day someone asked me, why can't we say, Jesus, I trust you? Well, it shouldn't be that way. You know, and this theologian who explained to me, he says, you know, no, you can't do this because it has to do, the emphasis is on I. I place confidence, not in you, but I trust you, as though I'm the judge what something is true or not. He wants us to have confidence in him. The emphasis is in him. I surrender myself to him and place myself under his care. So that's why this image evokes not only the fact that he's an icon, and the icons in the Eastern tradition is like a windows to divinity. Yeah. Through the icon, when we meditate, reflect, we enter the very presence of God, at the deeper sense of communion with God, because we see that icon draws our attention, draws our heart, and then we begin to commune with the real personal presence of God. So those are some of the things which are very important. Now, there's also these promises attached that wherever this image is venerated, I'll protect the homes and things like that. You know, and it is a story here, and I have to share with you. One of our priests, who is not really well known, I know that we have, you know, Father Joseph Jarzembowski, and you have now Father Seraphim, but among them, in between those two, there's a priest whose name was Julian, Father Julian. He was also a big promoter of divine mercy, and he was introduced into this message of mercy through an unusual way. I believe that one of his, maybe his mother, whoever, somebody gave him a little image of divine mercy. Since he was very well educated, the Nazis wanted to eliminate all the educated class. He was a judge, you know, a doctorate of law. And so he took this image when he was arrested. And he was arrested and put in a very infamous prison in Warsaw known as the Pavlovsk. A lot of people who were there were tortured to death. With the Lord's help, he was able to survive. And not only that, but there's something unusual took place, because at the end, many of the people, if not most of the people, were moved to Auschwitz or some other concentration camps from Pavlik, you know, prison. And so he was destined to go to a concentration camp. As they were being about to be loaded into trucks to be moved, he asked the German officer if he could run to his cell because he forgot something. And in an unusual way, the officer allowed him to go. Perhaps, as I suspect that he thought maybe, well, he's going there because there'd be probably some gold or something, and eventually they'll take everything away from them anyhow. So whatever he brings will be taken away. This is my hypothesis, but I think I'm kind of clear on that because that's what people used to do. So he allowed him to go back to his cell, and there he retrieved his little image of Divine Mercy, which he would put into his collar to hide it. He was walking back to the courtyard where they were loaded onto the trucks. And as he walked out of the building, he saw that the trucks already were pulling out. The gate was open, and the officer, commanding officer, was walking to his headquarters. And so he looked, and nobody saw him. That the gate was open, the trucks just pulled out, and he was able to slip out and run away from that prison. And he knew that this image, because he forgot he left in his cell, that by running to his image, was it be first of all that he was allowed to go, because the officer would not let you, that he was allowed to retrieve the image, and with that image, he was completely free to run, to leave this notorious prison, which was extremely well guarded, and he was unharmed. But also he was not transported to the concentration camp. From there on, he went into our underground. He was moved later on to the, he joined the Allied forces and ended up in England. And in England, in 1948, he wanted to do something for God in his mercy because he felt in his heart that he should offer his thanksgiving to God. And so that's what happened. And he wrote this article, which when it published, actually it was more than an article, it was like a book, booklet. But he wanted to verify if his theology and his recollection of Divine Mercy is proper. So he sent it for a review. And so Father Sopochko rewrote this booklet and he sent back to him. And Father Julian said, you know, you rewrote this book. It's not mine. And he says, my name should not be there. But Father Sopochko says, no, you initiated the project. I want you to publish in your name. Soon after, he joined our community. So in 1948, after he published this or attempted to publish the booklet, he joined our community and he was famous within our community in the 1950s and early 60s. 50s, just before the ban. And he was the one who did extraordinary things. Especially he was in contact with many, many centers around the world. You know, he's a polyglot. He was in direct contact with the Holy See as well. And so we were very grateful to him. And of course here, I wanted just to underscore the importance of this image. Yeah. Yes, 22nd of February, 1931. And the first Sunday of Lent as being the special day, the feast of the holy icons. And for us, I want you to say that, you know, this image is a source of incredible grace, incredible graces. I have witnesses from so many people who witnessed to me what happened to them when they venerated, when they placed the image on the door or windows.
And Father Kaz goes on to share their stories of people who faced hurricanes, who consecrated and trusted their home to the Divine Mercy, who every home around it was destroyed but theirs. There were people who survived violent car accidents when they should never have walked away from the crumpled vehicle, yet somehow were divinely protected. Assassination attempts were thwarted. You know, Father Kaz also told me, just as a side note, he said that little image that Julian had put, image that was in the concentration cell that the prisoner went back to get and smuggled out in the collar of his shirt, they actually have that. And he said to me, it's actually in Father Seraphim's room. He said, I just have to locate it. It's still there. Is that not cool? But the final note on this, and as I said, I could talk to you an hour. There's so many stories. There's so much more theology behind this. I'll leave you with the message that the Lord gave to Faustina. And again, I think it's so important. If you don't have an image of divine mercy, I want to recommend you get one. Put it in your home, your car, put it in your office. Trust in the protection and the promises of our Lord, especially in his divine mercy. The Lord said, I am offering people a vessel which they are to keep coming for grace to the fountain of mercy. And that vessel is this image with the signature, Jesus, I trust in you. By means of this image, I shall be granting many graces to souls. So let every soul have access to it. For I promise that the soul that will venerate this image will not perish. I also promise victory over its enemies already here on earth and especially at the hour of death. For I myself will defend it as my own glory. Those are powerful promises from our Lord to Saint Faustina. Those are powerful promises, not just for her, but a gift to you and to me. Just as we pray the chaplet every day, I would also embrace very powerfully this image. Maybe a little later, I'll share with you too what the Lord said about the 3 o'clock hour and the promises that come with that. There's so much to share. Thank you for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. Stay with me. I'll be back right after your news and headlines.